As we continue in the series, Rooted in Christ, I had a message here titled, Meeting the Needs of Your Spouse. As we seek to have a Christ-honoring marriage and to allow our home and our marriage to be rooted in Christ, it's important that we listen to God's instructions for our home. And so let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians has just a few things to say specifically regarding marriage and husbands and wives in this theme of rooted in Christ. And the book that we've primarily been in the book of Colossians, in chapter 3, it mentions some instructions to wives and to husbands. So let's notice that in verse 18, beginning. Colossians 3, verse 18. The Bible says, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. God's instructions for our home are important. Christian homes are under attack today. And the reversal of roles amongst spouses is also an issue today. And God gives us very clear in His Word His prescription for the marriage, not only between a one man and one woman in the holy bond of marriage for life, but God gives us instructions on exactly what role each spouse is to have. And so today I'm going to talk a little bit about meeting the needs of your spouse. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide our time in your word. I pray that you would help us to have a profitable time together. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And just for the sake of being a little different, I'd like to read somewhat in reverse through these familiar verses. And so Ephesians 5, let's look at verse 33. Ephesians 5. And verse 33, we have a more lengthy list or passage that instructs us regarding the relationship and the role of a husband and of a wife. And so let's notice verse 33. It says, Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Notice verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. God's instructions are clear for the roles of marriage partners. And so it's important, if we're going to be rooted in Christ in our lives, we need to have a healthy marriage and a healthy home. A home in which a husband and a wife, a mom and a dad, love one another and conduct themselves in the prescription that Christ has given us. And also important for children to honor their father and mother and to walk in obedience to their father and mother. And so let's notice here, as God gives as God gives these words of instruction to the marriage, to the husband and wife, he also relays here in the Ephesians passage that this is a glimpse of the mystery of Christ and the church. Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church, and should help us, a Christian home and a Christian marriage should help us see the beauty of the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ and those he has given his life for to redeem. That relationship, that very unique relationship between the Lord and us, should be pictured in a godly marriage. Godly marriages are rare today, and it's so critical that that we listen to God's instructions in our own lives. Marriage takes work, and it's not easy. A Christian home takes work, and there is much to attack, and to hinder its progress. But through Christ, we can be what God wants us to be. And so let's notice very quickly, as we look at God's instructions, we see two main things that come to the forefront. First of all, to husbands. The great need that a husband has is for reverence. I have three needs for each spouse mentioned here this morning. And so first of all, the husband needs reverence from their wives. That's certainly hard to give, I'm sure, in certain situations. Sometimes husbands are not deserving of respect. But reverence, as Webster's dictionary defines it, is fear mingled with respect and esteem. Fear mingled with respect and esteem. And so it's important for a marriage to work. God says that a husband needs to be reverenced. Please notice chapter 5 here, verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." God is not willy-nilly about his description of the specific role and the specific behavior of the wife, nor of the husband. God is very clear and very distinct in who he has made the head of the home. And so husbands need reverence from their wives. Please notice verse 33. It says, "Nevertheless, every one of you in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." That she reverence her husband. And so this is the husband's greatest need, and God emphasizes it here for reverence. A husband that is cut down and disrespected will be torn down faster than you would think. And so it's very important for God's instructions here to be taken seriously. And so let's consider also now the greatest need of the wife. This is the greatest need of the husband. The greatest need of the wife, as described in the Word of God, is love. A wife needs love from her husband. The wife needs love. Please notice again verse 33. It says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you," speaking to the husband, "let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself." The wife needs that love from her husband. She needs unconditional love. It's not based on performance. It's not even based on her appearance. It's based on a commitment to love, to cherish. And it needs to be expressed. Our love for God, it's not enough to just say we love God. And in fact, we could go to scriptures that talk about how God isn't impressed nor pleased with those who give lip service, who just say they love God. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, he's not pleased with those who merely say they love, but rather show their love by how they respect God, how they treat God. And the same is true for a husband in loving his wife. There need to be daily expressions of that love, tender treatment, and meaningful investments in the relationship. All right, so the greatest need of the husband is what? To be reverenced. The greatest need of the wife is what? To be
loved.
To be loved. What is the greatest need of the husband? To be reverenced. Respected. Reverenced. All right? So let's notice next the second aspect in a relationship. What does a husband need? Yes. Well, there you go. Husbands need companionship. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said in the very beginning, it is not good, recount it with me, it is not good that the man should be alone. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And so the wife was brought to the man. Eve was brought to the man as a companion, as a help meet. And so the husband needs companionship. By God's command, by God's word, we see that this is evidently a need for him. A need, someone to stand with him, someone to stand by him, to stand for him, to stand behind him, a true friend. If we looked at the virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31, the Bible describes how she did her husband good and not evil, how she stood with him, how he was known in the gates because of what she did for him, and that kind of thing. And so the husband's greatest need is companionship. All right? And then let's notice also the second aspect of the wife's need. The wife needs leadership. Leadership. God says in Ephesians 5, verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife. This is the structure God has put in order. Not because the husband is smarter than his wife, because a lot of times that's not the case. So it's not due to intelligence or anything like that, or talent, but God calls men to be leaders. And this really is a need for a wife, to have a leader. Anymore today, in so many homes, husbands have fallen prey to the temptation to let their wife lead, to just let her do it, just let her run the home, let her do the children, let her do everything, and let her do the church thing, let her run all of that, and the husband checks out. Well, Joshua said, as a godly leader in not only his nation, but in his family, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, as for my wife, and I'll follow her, we'll serve the Lord. He said, as for me. First of all, husbands need to seek God with their whole heart. A lot of times, husbands today, in Christian settings, in Christian homes, have shirked their duties to be God-fearing, God-loving leaders in their homes, in their families, and in our churches. And so we need to be faithful leaders. Our wives need that. To take initiative. Initiative is taking the first steps. Husbands need to initiate in guiding the home in spiritual things. They need to initiate servant leadership and biblical leadership. And so we see that in the wives' lives, they need a leader from their husband. They need her husband to be a leader. Okay, so let's review. What is the greatest need, the very greatest need of the husband? Starts with an R. Greatest need of the husband is to be reverenced. The greatest need of the wife, the very greatest need, is to be loved. Okay, then we move to the second tier here, and the husband's greatest need is for companionship. Companionship. Not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And on the second tier, what is the greatest, what is the need of the wife? Leadership. Leadership. She needs her husband to be a leader in their home, in their spiritual lives, in all things. To not that he has to do everything or be everything, but he needs to be engaged and lovingly leading his home. All right, and then number three. Number three, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with, there we see that reverence again, coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, now read it with me, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. What does God say is a treasured thing in a wife? A meek and quiet spirit. And so husbands need, because God's command, it evidences a need in the husband's life. Husbands need, whether they know it or not, but they need a meek wife. They need meekness from their wives. What is meekness? It is mildness of temper or disposition, gentleness of spirit, not easily provoked. It is strength under control. It's not that a woman needs to be weak or cannot use her gifts and talents, but she needs to be yielded. And literally, the definition of meekness is a fluid or a lubricant. A fluid or a lubricant. Meekness in an engine is the oil. The oil in that engine causes all those many moving parts, the pistons moving within the cylinders and all of the valves and all of the intricacies of the engine, the camshaft that moves all of these valves up and down on just the right timing, and all those things, they all don't work very long without oil. You drain those 5 quarts of oil from that engine, it can be a very powerful engine of several hundred horsepower, or a small engine of only a few horsepower. And you drain the oil out of that, and that engine will only run for a couple of minutes, and it will seize up because of friction and heat, and it will be broken. And so in a home, in a marriage, God says one of the greatest things that a woman, that a wife can be is not not an instruction giver. Notice in the beginning of this chapter, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, here's a husband who's not obeying God's word. It says that they may be also won by the way the wife lives. Her chaste conversation, verse 2, coupled with fear, coupled with reverence. Her beauty should be meek and a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. And so the lubricant in a marriage needs to be a meek, godly woman who is exemplifying the character of godliness and kindness and meekness and temperance. And so we see that that is important in a marriage. It doesn't mean that a husband can just be a bear cat. And that's not at all the case, obviously. But this is one of the great needs for a husband, is for his wife to be submissive, meek, really a lubricant in their lives. I think about Esther in the Bible and her relationship with the king. She was a very gracious woman. Esther had some really troubling things, very distressing things going on in her life and in their nation. And the way she approached her husband, the way she approached the king, was certainly in a bold way, but it was with meekness and with patience. So consider that illustration, that example of Esther. All right. And then the third aspect as relating to the wife's need. Number three, wives need security. They need security. Please notice we're in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is, dwell with your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The wife's need is for security from her husband. God instructed in the book of Genesis that the husband, specifically, it was the husband, not so much the wife, but it was directed to the husband. The husband was to leave and cleave. To leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. He is the one who was to stick fast to her, giving her security. We notice here in verse 7, as we just read, that husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. They are to dwell with their wives. It is God's will for husband and wife to dwell together, to remain together in daily life, not necessarily every moment of every day, but a lot of moments of every day or every week, to dwell together according to knowledge. A husband needs to work hard to know his wife, to understand his wife, to listen to his wife, and to dwell with knowledge. I spoke with someone this past week who recounted 10 years ago of how his marriage fell apart. And one of the issues in his marriage that he didn't realize at the time is that he never listened to his wife. Every time, any and every time they had a conversation, he was always thinking about what he was going to say and what he was going to say next and how he was going to fix whatever the problem was, instead of really listening to his wife. And so it's important for us to dwell with our wives according to knowledge, giving our wives the assurance that we care for them, that we will do all in our power to protect them, and that we are sincerely walking with God and really seeking to be a faithful leader. That will give much security to our wives as well. All right, so let's review and then we'll be done. Number one, the greatest, let's review the greatest needs of the husband all the way down and the greatest needs of the wife. Okay, three different aspects for each. The greatest needs of the husband, first of all, is the husband needs to be reverenced. Secondly, the husband needs companionship. And thirdly, the husband needs meekness from his wife. Okay? All right, and then on the wife's side, what are her needs? First of all, she needs to be loved. Secondly, she needs to be leadership. That's right. She needs leadership. And thirdly, she needs security. Security. All right. And so there's helpful aspects of the roles of husbands and wives and God's instructions. As we want our homes to be rooted in Christ, it's important that we take seriously these foundational instructions that God has given us. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for these simple yet profound instructions for us in one of the most intimate human relationships, as well as one of the greatest opportunities for an example of the relationship of Christ and the church. Lord, I pray that you would help my marriage and the other marriages of this church to grow in godliness and truly being rooted in Christ and these prescriptions that he has given to us. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.